Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The topic for our midweek Lenten and holy services this year has been on the Lord's Prayer. We have worked our way through each petition, but one part remains in the Lord's Prayer, and that is the conclusion. We learn in the Catechism that as we say Amen, this means that we should be certain that these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by Him, for He Himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. Amen, Amen means yes, yes, it shall be so. When I began this series on the Lord's Prayer, I did not anticipate how God would work to motivate His people to call out to Him in prayer. You see, God works good in all things, even during this pandemic of COVID-19. Many have told me how their own prayer lives have improved since they are home more or since they are concerned about what is going on. Concerns over jobs, the economy, contracting the virus, or how things will impact their loved ones has drawn many to the Lord in prayer. When life seems secure, many take little time in prayer. They figure all things are working well without the Lord's help, so why bother taking time in prayer? God can send pestilence, and He can bring uncertain times to tear us away from our pedestals of worldly security, which are built on the foundation of sinking sand. But Christ, He is our solid rock, for He has taken away our sin through the shedding of His blood. He has defeated Satan, and He has even overcome death. For He lives, and He is risen. And this is certain. Certainty is something that we are all longing for during these troublesome times. For certainty amid all sorts of uncertainties certainly is comforting. We have certainty in the words of Jesus. In fact, Jesus is the Word made flesh. Upon His resurrection, He expounded to the Emmaus disciples in all the scriptures the things that speak of Him. And prior to His crucifixion, Jesus said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me." This word of God is sure. This word of God is certain. And that can be seen in the harmonious unity of the scriptures, the widespread and consistent transmission of the scriptures in the early church, the reality that none of it has been disproven, and Christ has fulfilled all that had been said of Him. While we may think we have become more enlightened than what God teaches in the Bible, the reality is that man's enlightenment is never sure, and it is never certain. Remember when we were told that butter and eggs are good for you, and then they decided that they're not good for you, and now people are saying, well, they are certainly better than any man-made substitute? Or a few years ago, maybe it's several years ago by now, people had figured that gas prices would never drop below $3 a gallon, and now we're at half that, or even a third of that in some places. A few months ago, advisors would have said that nothing can slow our hot economy, and this all demonstrates that despite our amazing advancements in technology and the brilliance of mankind, there is little that we actually know, especially when it comes to matters concerning the future. But God, He knows all things. He is all-knowing. After Adam and Eve sinned and brought God's perfect creation into sin, God promised a Savior. He knew when He promised to them when He would send His Son Jesus, and He knew how Jesus would pay for the sins of the entire world. And so in the fullness of time, God sent His only begotten Son to save us. Fulfilling His Father's plan, Jesus rode into Jerusalem to serve as the sacrificial Lamb of God, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And by shedding His innocent blood on the cross, dying in our place, our sins are atoned for, and we can escape that which we deserve, which is eternal death and condemnation. We not only escape eternal death and condemnation, but everlasting life and salvation is granted to us. And all of these truths are recorded in the Bible for us and for our salvation. There is certainty in God and His Word. There's also certainty in the works of Jesus Christ, the work of the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. For He healed the sick, He drove out demons, He made the lame walk and the blind see. He even raised Lazarus from the dead, a man who had been dead for 4 days. Several times, Jesus said to His disciples that He is going to Jerusalem, where He will be handed over to sinful men, where He will suffer, where He will die, and where He will then rise from the dead on the third day. He had prophesied, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it," referring to His own body. And recall the announcement of the angel when the women went to the tomb that first Easter morning. They were wondering who will roll that tomb away so that they could treat our Lord's body with respect, giving Him that burial that He could not have due to the haste of trying to get Him in the grave before the Sabbath began. And when they arrive at the tomb, they see that the tombstone had already been rolled away. They find an angel there who says, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid Him. But go, tell His disciples and Peter that He is going before you to Galilee. There you will see Him, just as He told you." Just as He told you. His word that He had said to them was certain and true. And these things happened exactly as Jesus said they would. Just as He told you. He fulfilled what seemed impossible. For He bore the world's sin in His own body. He committed no sin. He did everything that the Father had required of Him. He endured the punishment of the cross. He defeated Satan. He swallowed up death in victory. And He rose triumphantly from the grave. And He lives to tell of it, so that generation after generation can hear of these remarkable truths of who He is and what He has done for us and for our salvation, just as He said. This means that we can be certain in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and in the life everlasting. For had Jesus failed to keep the law, He could not offer the perfect sacrifice for our sin. Had Jesus given in to just one temptation of the many that He had faced, Jesus would have had to render satisfaction for His sin and not for the sin of the world. Had Jesus turned against his Father and refused to go to the cross, our sins would not be atoned for, and we would not have the hope of everlasting life. But since Jesus did make the perfect payment for our sin on the cross, doing so without sin, and since he fulfilled his Father's will, he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. His resurrection means that the forgiveness of sins has truly been earned for us. And that means we too shall live. Reading death tolls from the coronavirus, reading obituaries, especially when we see that younger people have died for whatever reason, and remembering loved ones who have died reminds us of our mortality. It also gives the impression that death is ever so final. For when we remember our loved ones who have died, we realize that we cannot speak to them. We cannot bring them back. We can't watch them grow or advance in experience or wisdom. We can't learn from their wise hands. This all shows how painful death is. But we have to acknowledge that as Christians, death is not God's intended plan for his perfect creation. Death is not natural. It is a result of sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And since Christ has risen, he has turned death upside down. That is, he now uses death to bring us to himself in heaven. And so while we cannot bring our loved ones back to us who have died in the faith, we can go where they are. Despite being uncertain of what each day brings or how long people will live, we have certainty in what Jesus has done. With the forgiveness of sins, we have the promise of the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We cannot come before the presence of the Almighty God when we are stained by our sin. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sin. By the grace of God, we are covered with the very righteousness of Christ. With these blessings, we are then given the promise of eternal life. For we can, having our sins taken away, now come before the presence of God. When we breathe our last, our souls will join the saints in heaven. And when Jesus returns, he will raise our bodies from the grave so that they will be imperishable, immortal, glorious, not unlike Christ's own body. That's what we will have at the resurrection, with our own bodies, with our own flesh. With our own flesh, we will see God, as Job testifies. We will see him face to face, and we will be reunited with our loved ones who have died in the faith. This is as sure and certain as Christ's own resurrection. When we think about our past and many wrongs that we have done, we sometimes wonder if God would truly love us or if he really did forgive us. But let such doubts vanish, for Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin not of some of the world, not of just some people, but he takes away the sin of the entire world. He loves you, and he paid for all of your sins on the cross. And you can be certain, you can have confidence that this everlasting life is granted to you. To use the words of the angel speaking to the women, just as he told you. You can have certainty in our Lord's resurrection, for this is not a cunningly devised fable. Our Lord's tomb was secured so that no one could enter back in and stage his resurrection. There were hundreds of eyewitnesses of our Lord's resurrection. His tomb is empty. He is risen. This also means that we can have certainty in the means of grace, the means by which God works faith in you. Baptism, as God certainly declares in Romans 6, unites you to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that in baptism you've died to sin and you've been raised to newness of life. As it is written in 1 Peter 3, baptism now saves you. The absolution declared by your pastor is as valid and certain even in heaven as if Christ our Lord, dear Lord, dealt with us himself. And Jesus left no room for doubt when he announced his last will and testament, declaring, "This is my body, this is my blood for the forgiveness of sins," as he instituted the Lord's Supper. And finally, you can have certainty in that God hears your prayers and answers them according to his good and gracious will. If Jesus can bear your sin in his body, fulfill the law perfectly in your place, take your sin away through the shedding of his innocent blood on the cross, rise from the grave and be seated at the right hand of the Father and work faith in you through the word and sacraments, then God can certainly hear each and every prayer and petition and plea and cry and song of thanksgiving and praise that you bring before our Lord. You can be certain that your prayers are heard by him. He has taught you to pray. He has promised to hear you. Amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so. And so let there be no doubt about it. God hears you, and he delights in your prayers. So during this time of uncertainty, pray. Pray to him. And be certain that God has a plan in all things. Be certain that he will get us all through this. And be certain that the life everlasting belongs to you. For Christ is risen. The victory is won. This shall be our confidence, as we will boldly sing in our closing hymn. And this is most certainly true. Jesus lives. The victory is won. Hallelujah. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.